I want to talk about, first of all, I mean, you're in a new relationship.
I am.
You know, you got your girl and everything.
Yes.
She looks like a bad bitch. Can I say that?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't want you saying she doesn't.
Yeah. Let her know. I said
that. You saw her.
Cool. Yeah. That's what I asked. Anyway, so, you know, how's it feel being with a bad bitch? I mean, I'm just curious.
I don't know, man. I don't know, because, you know, I am not attracted. So, like, it's anytime I get a girl who is, it's, I'm like, all right. I was like, let's just handle this until she wakes up.
It's almost like eternally grateful. You're like, yes, bless the gods.
Hey, man. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've done some really good, I've done some really fair, like, dating up.
Yeah.
But I've also, like, I've also dated down.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I have an Australian friend named Jimmy, who's like the biggest fuck boy.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me one time. I was like telling him, I was like, I was like, this girl gave me head like outside my building. This is like when I was 25. And I was like, when I still live with my mom. And I was like, I couldn't bring her in, so she gave me head outside the building. Yeah. And he was like, oh, she looked like, and I was like, I don't think I called her. But he was like, I was like, I'm gonna call her back actually. She was good. And he was like, she might have been throat goat. Anyway.
Throat goat?
Yeah, she might have been the throat goat.
Throat goats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe. She's in top five for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say her name, Holly. Anyway, she but she like
Holly out there, we love you. You Holly, are the throat
yeah,
goat.
Throat
yeah,
goat.
Throat goat Holly. Yeah. But yeah. So he was like, look, mate. Can you hear me on the
Yeah, great.
Real good, yeah.
He's like, No, not all of them for the mantle, some are just for sport. And I was like, wow. Good. He's basically saying like, yeah, fucking ugly bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, they're not all for the mental. Some are just for sport. And yeah. I live my life by that. No, I'm kidding. But
that's going to be a heavy thing for Holly to have to hear tonight.
Yeah.
I ain't called that bitch back. No, I'm just kidding. No. Actually, that's why. Holly was my friend. Holly is my friend.
She's a sweet lady.
She was not. She was cool. She was cool. Holly was dope.
Yeah.
We used to have a thing like in the 20s where we were just like, she didn't get a call before. I didn't even get a call before 2 a.m. It was like a mutual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes 4.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was fine. It was a fun thing, a good time, and might be throw goat. Nah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like I haven't had good luck with women. I don't know why people are like, oh, I shouldn't know how to give luck. I think most of them do after like in their 20s.
I think it would be positive if that was part of sex ed.
100%. You know? It
should have been. And that's something that maybe with universal health care we could get into sex ed.
Schools, but only for the boys.
Ah,
I see. In Irish school specifically, yeah.
Irish Catholic. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they just fuck potatoes. I don't know. Can I cuss? I can cuss, right?
Yeah, you can cuss.
All right,
that's all you want. Yeah,
because this is Smart Mild episode 23.
Yeah, 23. We are mad lit over here.
Live from LA.
Live from LA, Venice Beach. We got our boy Basil, the comedian, up in this bitch.
Yeah.
My boy.
Woo!
Hand clap.
Stop.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if the people know. The people know that this is the new upcoming. About to be the goat of the comedy's world, especially in LA, coming up soon.
I don't know about that.
And you know, we caught him early, right before the inception. We caught him like we're grooming him essentially to build him up. So once he gets there, then
we're trying to be a part of his entourage.
Yeah, right.
So this is really that it's kind of the beat in of the entourage here.
Yeah.
I have white friends, I have black friends, but I don't have a little person, and I don't have someone beach adjacent. So. You're in.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah. And the best part about it is we like to sandwich you to have like the brown in the middle. It's the best part.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to catch your waves because we're trying to be comedians too.
Oh, nice.
We're actually just starting doing the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we like your vibe. We like what you're doing. We like the people that you're opening for. I mean, my God, you're opening up for, the Spades, the Tiffany Haddish. I mean. Brad Williams, Tim Dillon. I mean, my God, the people that you're coming on stage with.
Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, like it's not like the difference between like opening for someone and like performing with someone.
Yeah.
Like they're like those showcase shows. That's when you have like everyone does 15 to 20 or whatever.
Sure.
Right.
Whatever. That's when you like are on a show with somebody, and then but when you open for them, it's like someone on the road. And I've opened for like Ken Jeong, Jamie Kennedy, Maz Jobrani. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like I'll pick up those names I dropped later, but it's nice because there was a point where I gave up on the stream and I wasn't able to. So and it's nice to say that like Tiffany Haddish is my good friend and she that show she did on Wednesday, she did it for me. She did it. She had no interest in like doing the show. She's busy. She's not writing right now. She's not writing jokes. She just went up there and riffed, and she kills it because she doesn't need to write. She's just one of those, like, Richard Pryor. You know, Richard Pryor never wrote.
Mm.
He might repeat things, but he never actually, like, wrote. He just went up there, talked. If it stuck, he did it. Yeah. And Tiffany Ash is, like,
it's the female. It's like the Jay-Z of comedy, huh?
Sure. Does Jay-Z not write?
I don't think he writes. I just heard he gets on the mic, spits a little bit.
He probably writes, like, in, like, how Bill... You know, Bill Burr doesn't actually write anything down.
I can see what you mean by that.
Yeah, like, it's just like you write in your head. Like me, I personally just take little notes. I look at it once and I never look at it again, and that's it. I have like a pretty really good memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I work it out on stage and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the fun things about me, like in comedy in LA, is being able to see guys like yourself on the come up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is a little bit about what the Smart Mild is being able, we are just one, we want to be in comedy, but we're also fans of it. We're absolute enthusiasts. We love going to small shows. We love going to the big shows and seeing how that kind of the program works and watching that growth of comedians like yourself happen. It's one of the special parts of being out here in LA. And then there is this beautiful community about it. You know, you see, on a night at like the Comedy Store, it's like a beautiful sight of everyone working together in the gym, making it happen.
Yeah, definitely. It's like that. It's a tight knit community for the most. I mean, for the most part, you know, everybody at least like heard of each other, especially when you make it to, from that open mic or amateur level to the professional level.
Sure.
You do. It is like everyone knows each other. Everyone for the most part likes each other. I mean, there's always going to be beef. And there's always going to be like cliques or whatever. But for the most part, like everyone has like, there's like a respect because it's like, nobody gets a comedian like comedian. Like, it's like a tribe.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a tribe of, like, these fucking people that don't necessarily... There has to be something that makes you not, like, fit in with somebody
else.
Everybody, it could be anything. It could be, like, race and you didn't fit in. It could be depression.
Yeah.
It's usually depression. It's almost...
Childhood trauma, essentially.
Childhood trauma. Totally. It could be anything. It could be, like... Yeah. Like, dude, Chris D'Elia, like, I know he's not, like, everyone's favorite person right now, but he's
getting through it.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Chris is actually a nice guy, though. I've never seen shit. But, anyway, I digress. Chris, like, had a very privileged life. Like, his dad was a producer.
Sure.
He grew up very wealthy. He had great parents.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even realize that his thing is that he is, like, his thing is that he's a little socially inept in a weird way. He like does weird things like he would be on this table, sit cross-legged and start texting. Like he does these little weird things.
Yeah.
That's his thing. His thing is that he's just it's almost on the spectrum kind of thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, so everybody has something.
Well, and that's one of his bits where he's like, I'm not on drugs.
Yeah.
You might think I'm on drugs. But I'm not on.
Yeah. He's like, I look like I sell them to me. Yeah. It's a great bit, and I'm like, and he also says like. He doesn't realize that his thing is that he's socially awkward and enough. As much as he's cool as fuck, he's really got swag, but he's fucking... He does weird... Like, I remember one time he, like, walked in the improv, and I was just standing there, like, hey, Chris. And he literally walks right past me, darts past me, walks backwards to me, and shakes me, like, hey, all right, hey, buddy, sorry, how are you? And then he just goes back to the stage. And then someone's like, that's D'Elia.
Ah, interesting. That's interesting.
So talented.
That's interesting, people that actually don't do any drugs. So you'd be like, yeah, but... doesn't make you less weird or not, you know, or not. Whatever the case.
Some people I'm like, man, do some fucking Molly or something.
Yeah.
This is you not on drugs.
Maybe you need to do drugs. Like, my God, like, you're way too uptight.
You
know, something.
Just take a little off.
You know, it's funny. I didn't do drugs until my mid-20s for the most part. I tried a little bit in ninth grade. And, like, because I felt like I fell in the back crowd of the theater kids. And I fucking, and I was like, and I started playing sports. And I became straight edge, like, Muslim kid.
Yeah.
And then I just, at 26, one time I was hungover. In San Diego, and I was like, I can't make it to the club tonight. And my friends are all doing coke, and I was like, I don't do that shit. And I was like, my head was splitting. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna make it to the club. And I was like, I heard this shit helps your hangover. I did it at the club till 4 a.m. It was fucking great. Nothing. I was having coffee. Like, hey, how you doing, Faisal? Nice to meet you, man. What the fuck? you know, I was like, damn, this shit's amazing.
Yeah.
But I was like, I gotta tell you. I was way more of a dick before I did drugs. I had it in check. I just think once you do a little bit of Molly, go to a rave, you understand that there's more than you in the world.
Yeah.
The community.
Yeah, you understand this world, man. You understand that world.
Mushrooms make you really fucking sensitive.
It makes you sensitive and grateful about everything that's going around.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you the word around. But one thing I actually want to touch on, because there's one part that we're actually missing. We're not complete here. you know, you did mention the girl thing. You said like one thing is sometimes girls are for sports, sometimes girls are for, what did you say?
The mantle.
Yeah. And I don't think we're complete because, you know, like I use that analogy when it comes to like your fit, your clothing, like your shoes, you know, like sometimes you got to wear the nice, the Nikes for the mantle, you know, basically whatever when you're going out, you know, and sometimes you have shoes for sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when we have guests, we give them something nice, LJ. We do something.
We do.
And we give them a shout out. Oh. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we give them something for sport.
Yeah.
And sometimes something for sport equals.
Here. I got you.
Oh, you guys got me. Is that what you asked my shoe says? I thought you guys.
Whoa.
I didn't ask you anything.
All right. My bad.
Shit, Basil. What are you talking about? Because we wanted to get you something.
All right.
You don't want
to. Y'all didn't have to do.
We wanted to get you something for sport. You know what I mean?
What?
You guys are the first
one. Pumas?
Some Pumas.
Dude, these are dope.
Yeah.
Fucking sick.
Size 12 and everything. And we need you to put those actually on.
Yeah,
I gotta put them on?
We gotta put them on for the podcast.
This is foot porn.
Yeah.
This is all?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
show off the shoes a little bit.
Some comedians do have stage shoes, but we have podcasting shoes.
Yeah, podcast shoes. Yeah,
these are actually pretty sick, though.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Trying to make it look clean for you, you know.
Wait, I gotta take.
Here we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Because the podcast, we were in our shoes. Because I don't know if people know, like, I'm wearing my Kyrie's.
You got to look good to be good out here.
I have my Jordans, but I'm going to wear the. I do have my Jordans on, but.
Yeah.
Those are jumpsuits.
There we are.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck with you guys.
Yeah.
You're a sock guy, too. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sock guy, sock clean, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
for you.
It just.
The game on lick. We need to take those.
No, they'll get on.
Yeah.
Just fitting like a glove. Yeah.
We're going to cut this part, maybe. We'll find out. We'll see.
We'll find out in a second.
Yeah.
Basil runs, he runs a size 17 shoe.
Yeah, very large.
Which, that's incredible.
Oh, I know, right?
So, special ordered directly from Puma.
It means that his dick is big.
You would think, but... Yeah. You would think. It's only.
You
like,
can't be simping.
It's barely in the double digits.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be simping with a size 17.
No, you can't be simping.
Dude, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I heard Shaq got a normal dick.
Oh, really?
That's a rumor. Somebody said small. I'm like, dude, if it was 10 inches, it would look small on Shaq.
Yeah, it looked small on Shaq.
It's probably the size of Cameron.
That's the difficult part.
Yeah.
If you got too big of thighs, you know, it really wrecks it.
Yeah, I really.
Yo, they look good. You got the colorways in there.
Colorway, so beautiful.
Man, thank y'all.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Appreciate you guys.
And usually for guests, we would ask you to give them back to us, but for today you can keep them.
Ah, dope. all right, dude.
So cool.
Yeah, you can take it back.
No, they're totally yours. We're totally yours.
Damn, I actually needed some shoes with some red, so appreciate you.
Perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I assume Cameron stole them.
Exactly.
It was a quick thing.
Yeah.
It was a smash and grab session. Pretty easy.
Clearly, that's why we don't have the box.
You got these during the BLM protest last year.
Well, that's where we met. We met in the back of the aisle there.
Yeah.
And that's what we do for all of our guests. We have the same exact shoes, and we have a stockpile of different sizes. So we just wanted to know what your size was, so we make sure we pick the right one.
So,
but thank you, Puma.
You guys really did meet at the BLM protest?
Yeah.
And
he was at the counter protest, right?
I was counter protesting. Yeah. We crossed the line there with a Pepsi.
Yeah.
So Kendall Jenner was there. Thank God for her.
Pepsi.
And she immediately summoned me to hand the Pepsi across the line. Yeah. It was weird.
To the black people, yeah.
I was there for Caitlyn, though, so I don't even know what I was doing.
I wanted to see her, too. But
yeah. I was trying to see her, too, but she ran over my friend. So.
Dead, homie.
Yeah.
But
she's just Trump with a wig now. Did you hear this?
Trump with a wig.
Kimmel last night was saying that Caitlyn Jenner's just Trump with a wig.
Man, Kimmel is dope. Kimmel is dope. He's like, dude, just let some Republicans go. I fucking hate him too, but just let some Republicans. I'm just kidding. I don't hate Republicans because I want you to buy my tickets. But that's why I do no political jokes. But no, I'm like, dude, I get annoyed with Republicans too, and they're like, they're stupid too because. The thing about stupid Republicans, though, that pisses me off more than anything, and there's stupid Democrats too. There's like, well, of course, there's like stupid, if a woman says she's a woman, then she's a woman, and you're not gay. Like, no, okay, okay. Like, if I'm a woman and you bang me, you're fucking gay.
Yeah.
Like, Eric Griffin has a great bit about this. I'm not gonna like give away his bit, but yeah, it's like, dude. And it's like, well, I'm like, you know, you can't fucking, you gotta cancel science. Like, you can't cancel science. Science is racist. Science is the only, it's not.
Yeah.
It's inherently not.
It's inherently not.
There are racist scientists.
Racist scientists.
Right.
Yes. But anyway.
But like, science is just like throw a bunch of stuff in the box, let's write down what we saw. Try it 1,000 more times. Yeah. And then what we saw is going to be science.
There's never like, it's not like they're like, well, like, it's not like some black guy came up with a theory of relativity. And they're like, no.
You know, first of all, if black guy came up with a theory of relativity, they would have shut that shit down so hard. They'd be like, son, the theory of motherfucking what? The theory of ghetto. And then they'll try to like tie it to like being like ghetto and aggressive or something. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be like, so because the theory of relativity exists, and that's why black people have this.
You're overthinking it. They would just shot him and give the research to a white guy. Which is what happened. No, okay.
What happened in the first place.
No, you think they like Jews back then too? Like, they probably tried to kill him. He's like, I don't want to present this now. And then,
they brought him to America. Like, we want the scientist Jews. Yeah.
But the point of what I was making, the fucking thing is, why are Republicans so much dumb? I understand like a dumb liberal.
But there's pride in being dumb and a Republican. But there's stubbornness.
Yeah. I don't care. But like my thing is like, I just saw someone post about like I got the vaccine and now the phone clip. You see that? The phone clip.
Oh, it's a magnet.
It's a magnet. Yeah. It's a magnet. Dude, shut the fuck up. Nobody's trying to microchip you and see you eating endless apps at fucking Chili's. Like nobody.
Yeah. I got family members that sent me themselves though, and it's sticking on.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, but it is interesting though. I don't know why Republicans take so much pride in ignorance. Yeah. But then, like, the Democrats, the dumbest fucking person can somehow feel like they went to Harvard.
Yeah.
They can just sit behind these fucking Google facts and just sit there.
Yeah, dude.
We talk about that a lot because I'm more conservative. He's more lefty.
Yeah.
And we love finding the middle.
So, you know, so he's like, he's liberal and literally, you're trash. Yeah, and then I'm from LA. No. I honestly have a Republican enemies and it's fine. No, I have a Republican friend. I don't care. My thing is if you're fucking like, they're fucking keeping children and drinking their blood. Then I have a problem.
100%.
If you're like, hey, I don't want to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Or hey,
right.
We have like, and so you really are at the counter protest. if you're like, hey, you know what? I like what Trump did for like Israel. Or if you have someone, I completely respect that.
Right.
But if you're like, hey, we gotta get these fucking people out of here, and they're fucking building. They are drinking their blood at the pizza place. Then I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No, I'm the type of conservative where we have to wait 2 more days till we can take our masks off.
Right.
I just like to raise my hand and be like, why?
Well, that's not conservative. I'm like, that's like,
why do we have to wait 2 more? Yeah. That's it.
I'm a registered Democrat. I'm a huge liberal. I'm like, why did you announce a date? If you can announce a date, that means we're done.
Yeah. And they should be able to trust us that whenever they figure that on whatever Monday that was. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to wait 2 more weeks to be like, now you can do it.
You know what they did? They actually did a lot of studying. And you want to know why they picked June 15th?
Because
they did a lot of analysts and study, and they're like, you know what? June 15th, if you announce that on that day, you might not get recalled.
Because if it's the 16th, you will.
Right. Because they would do it
on... Was it on Juneteenth? Wait, it's Juneteenth?
Yeah, Juneteenth the 16th.
Oh,
yeah.
I was trying to get the black votes.
Yeah.
Like everyone's liberated.
Well, then it'll finally be a national holiday.
It'll finally be a national holiday.
We're all liberated.
That was the point. Finally, white people will say, we're fucking free. And we can celebrate it for years and years and years and say, remember the day. Remember the time.
Hey, I'm right here with you.
Yeah. But stop complaining about Juneteenth and your fucking slavery shit.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I get it. It happens sometimes.
Dude, I got to, you know... It's fucking. It's here's the thing, restaurants never had to close. We could have spaced it outside.
No,
we never had to close restaurants. We never had to. There was so. And again, I'm a super liberal. In the beginning, we didn't know.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's okay to have caution and check. Yeah. And like, let's do
it. No, like 1 month tops.
When we came back, we never had to reshut down. I don't give a fuck if people were gonna get. Nobody got COVID from restaurants. They got COVID from going to these parties.
Right.
They got COVID from gathering. They went to other states where the rules weren't like. I got COVID in Miami. I went to do shows and I went. I was like seeing some crazy dumb bitch and I don't really call. I don't call women dumb bitches.
But she's a sweetheart.
No, she's not. She's a sweetheart.
She's a Miami.
No. She's a novelist. Ain't nobody paying her to write shit.
Right.
Anyway, so she. I don't usually talk. I usually keep it private. But this person really fucked me over. I bought us plane tickets. I booked shows in Miami just to like, you know, like around this. And I was like, hey, let's go do Miami.
Make it a thing.
I was like, let's go. Well, I got rooms at the Four Seasons.
Ooh.
We'll do it big.
Wow.
We'll just do dinner.
You were showing her too much to her.
All the way.
I was like, we'll just do dinner. It was like we were dating for 3 months. And I was like, I know you're going through a rough time. This is for you. Let's just
wait. Did you buy the hat there?
This is a different Four Seasons. I love Four Seasons. I used to work for them, so I fucking I can't like stay not there. I can't afford it, but I will stay anyway.
Yeah.
But
bougie on a budget, I love it.
Bougie on a budget. I do have some hookups still, but anyway. But so like, I what I did was so I paid for everything. I was like, I got us restaurant reservations. We're gonna be by the pool. I even got us a table at a club. I was like, we'll be at it. Like I was like, spend so much money.
Love it.
8 hours before the flight, she bailed.
Ooh,
and the reason why, and this is when I found out she was seriously mental, and looking back, I was like, what the fuck was I thinking about the whole thing? She was texting women through my phone, and 1 month in, telling them not to talk to me. I was like, I don't even know this girl.
Oh, God.
She was crazy.
God.
She FaceTimed a girl I matched with on Hinge that I never met up.
Oh, God.
And so anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I can't see. You know, during quarantine, we were all a little.
Oh yeah,
so like, oh, it was quarantine.
It was a quarantine love, but anyway.
Yeah.
So she bit.
You get yourself in a weird situation.
Yeah.
Here's weird, you want to hear? This is how crazy this girl is. She said the reason she didn't come is because she had a panic attack because she was overwhelmed by how well I treated her.
Fuck. No. Yeah. That's not real.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. And then she apologized. She's like, I'm gonna make it up. And she's like, she's like, I'm so sorry. And then she spent 2 months trying to get me. I wrote you this letter with all my heart. Can I please give it to you? I was like, you can mail it. And then she's like, no, I really want to give it to you. After 2 months of begging me, I finally, okay, you want to go? Meet me at Toca Madera. Great, great restaurant, by the way. I love it. And I was like, because I'm going to need a drink if I'm going to fucking listen to this.
Yeah, no fucking kidding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She begs for the brunch. I text her morning. Goes ghost. Doesn't even show up to the damn brunch. I didn't go, thank God.
Oh, but no.
I was like, leave me the hell alone.
No.
She goes, okay, but why? I was like, what?
No.
So my crazy was my type. I finally have gotten past that. I think I finally got out of the crazy phase.
Yeah.
It was a nice decade for me.
Yeah.
I date crazy is my type.
No, crazy is fun.
It is fun.
I'm too old for that shit.
And then it takes too much time and too much energy. Yeah. It ruins your future.
I was in a 4-year relationship with a girl who is really great. She's still my good friend, but that bitch crazy too. And she was definitely a Karen in the making.
Oh,
that's where.
Like, I was just God, do you have to fucking? I know they forgot the dressing. I know they forgot.
In the store, in the restaurant, like, excuse me.
I'm sorry, but did you not listen to my order? I was like, all right, don't short circuit. She was short circuit, and I was just like,
I mean, all girls can be a Karen once a month.
Nope. The girl I'm Karen.
Everybody, nobody ever asked.
At some point,
what time of the month was it for?
Because
I think we should let her off the hook.
Wasn't the 23rd?
This was all the time, so don't worry about it.
Was it the 23rd day of the month?
Yeah.
Just like
27th or 23rd?
Whatever.
Whenever it happens.
Yeah.
And it matters what group they're in.
If someone's right,
because I guess I didn't know that, by the way. I guess when girls are like together, they start messing
Wi-Fi,
together.
Wi-Fi,
what the fuck is that?
They're like Wi-Fi.
That's so weird.
Careful with that.
It's like me going around a bunch of dudes and like all of a sudden like we all get hard at the same time. We're not watching porn or anything.
But
all of a sudden we all get hard. I mean, maybe we do.
Maybe. Who knows? We'll try later.
We'll try later. But I'm just saying, like, that's mad strange. I'm just saying.
And they like to say that they're never like working against us when like, you know, it's behind closed doors, just them.
Yeah.
No, we weren't talking about you. When their bodies are biologically already aligning that.
Yeah, already aligning.
Come on.
It's mad strange. It's mad strange. So, I mean, I don't.
A server should do that. By the way, if someone's like, "Excuse me, my fucking steak is medium rare, and I asked for medium. Why'd you undercook it?" And then he'll just be like, "Ma'am, how do I phrase this? If you're in the ocean with a shark came by," and she's like, "Yeah, I have that time." He's like, "I understand. Let me fix your steak. Don't even worry about it, sweetie. You're good.
And what's sad about that is that question would make her go up another level and murder you.
Right.
However, that question is to add empathy towards the moment.
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to know if this is real or fake.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if you're a total bitch or you're on your period. I just want to know.
I gotta say, these hoes don't appreciate shit.
They don't want to appreciate shit.
Yeah.
And we are so glad the curly headed over is not here. But anyway,
I'm literally
be here in a minute.
Yeah.
Is that your producer? Is it a woman?
Huh? Yeah, the curly head overlord, you met her.
The curly head overlord, yeah. Sometimes bitches be crazy. And like Chris Rock had the best joke. Like I love women, but I hate bitches. You know what I mean? And bitches, especially crazy bitches. I mean, you know, they're not showing up to dates. They're telling you they're gonna be here when they're not. I had a situation like that before too. This girl on the internet talking about like she'll be here. I'm meeting me in downtown by 5th and Spring. Didn't fucking do it and told me like 6 times. And
first time you met her?
This is like I met her online and she was like kind of cute. She was like a. Maybe a 6.5 out, but I was
remember like, they're not all for the mantle.
they're all for
just for sport, mate.
And sometimes you gotta do it. But this bitch didn't show up.
Did that guy have an accent?
Yeah, he was Australian. That's why he was
great.
Sorry, maybe I didn't do it. I was he's like they don't.
That's English,
He's like, wait, hold on, let me do Aussie. He's like, Faisal, You know, all for, he's like, you know, all for mental. Some are just for sport, mate. And I was like, fuck, that was cool.
Yeah.
That's when it really locks into your brain. What's an accent? Accent is so dangerous because you're going to take that to the grave and that's going to get you some bad situations.
Yeah, totally.
No, no, it was just dope. And I was just like, oh, yeah, man. I was like, dope. And so he's like, you can fuck it too. It's fine. It's fine because
sometimes it's for the blowjob. You know, I was just like one thickie yesterday. Thickie. And she was like maybe like 6-0.
She
like,
wanted to eat you.
Dude, and I wanted to be eaten. You know, it happens sometimes. And like sometimes you just gotta get clobbered by them big ass titties. And I think you just gotta set yourself up to just handle the sport sometimes. You know what's my point? Like she was whatever.
Not
she
exactly. Was, you're looking at me in the eye like I think I know what you're talking about. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now.
You know what I'm talking about. And
the only thing I can fuck like a girl with a B face. I can't fuck a fat girl. I can fuck a girl with a B face or like an ugly face. As long as they're like, you know, like reasonably like toned or not fat. I don't know what it is about fat. Maybe because I was skinny, my so scrawny my whole life. Yeah. It just doesn't do it for me. But I can't fuck a dumb chick.
But so wait. So you're not part of the I fuck thickies crew?
Curvy, like with like Conger, like the girl.
No, he's talking about big.
I'm talking about like, girl. Fat. I'm not talking about. Yeah. I like you. My girl right now has like a great body.
Slim thick.
She's not even slim thick. She's kind of slim thick.
Yeah, but
you know, she's very toned. She's got nice boobies. But
like, I know that. That's why.
But like, oh, yeah, my guy. Guess he did see her. So the girl I was dating before, she had an amazing, she was a white girl with ass. It was great. Right. Like, and she had good credit. It was fucking great.
Oh.
That's why I only date white women. I'm trying to get my credit.
Good credit.
No, I date everybody, but except for my own. But she had a great ass and like tight on the girl. Like, fuck, I literally felt like I was like, you're a great ass.
Yeah.
You got your head all the way up. And I was like, what? And I was like, yeah, great. She had a great, amazing ass and tone. And she was great. And she was super smart, which made it even sexier.
Yeah.
Sure.
But like, yeah, I don't know. I usually used to go, like, I'm telling you, one of my exes, she was like 5'8", 5'9", like 119 pounds, 117 pounds.
Shit.
Yeah, bro. I used to date those like model sticky girls all the time, and I kind of just finally after I was like, they're all crazy. All those people you're get away from your type for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now I'm happier than that. And this girl looks like a short Mexican Victoria Beckham. You saw that haircut?
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn.
Sure.
I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, who the fuck? What is this? I was like, what is this shallow hell? What am I doing with this? Why is she like, oh, yeah, because you're funny. I forgot, because you're funny.
Oh, yeah,
and you're funny.
That's right.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. That makes me, that puts me up 2 points.
Yeah. No, for guys, it doesn't. Looks don't matter for guys.
No. Money matters. No, okay. No, you'd be right.
Yeah, it does.
Money matters.
Here's the thing. I have this thing. I base it on tequila because I saw an ugly guy. He went up to, so the, like the better looking you are, the less money you have to have. Or other things. But so there's this guy. He was complaining. It's like, he used to hate this guy. He's like this fucking schmuck. And I never use that term, but this guy just like, if you drew a schmuck, you draw
a schmuck's a good term, though.
Yeah, but
we all can draw in our mind immediately.
If you drew, we would all unanimously draw this
guy.
He was an optometrist. He was like always creeping on girl. He creeped on my eggs, and he was like, I took this Tinder date out. And I was like, he was like, she kept ordering $40 shots of tequila. And I was like, you look at her and look at you.
Yeah, she was dealing with the situation.
That's the minimum. Why would she be with you unless you were buying her $40 shots? She deserves every fucking shot.
Yeah.
Like me, I'm not super handsome, but I'm not as ugly as that guy. With me, she gets Casamigos. She gets custom. She's not gonna ring that fucking bell.
Yeah,
she's not doing the class of the zoo.
Yeah,
but like that, like dude, like Cameron and his big dick. He can give her well.
He can
give her well because he's a handsome man.
And he has superstar syndrome too.
Yeah, there you go.
And like, they look at him, they're like, oh, that guy knows.
They think I'm somebody.
Everywhere we go, they're like, oh shit, he must be,
right? Yeah, like it's interesting. Yeah.
Are you Game of Thrones? But the black one?
Yeah, he must have been in something, right?
Yeah, you got that look. I was like, damn, why does this fool look famous? You always dress well, I'm like, damn, this fool look like he's on the red carpet all the time.
Yeah, he's on the way up.
So I'm saying that's my thing. I'm like that I look at a guy, I'm like, and I judge. With the girl, I'm like, what level of tequila does he have to buy her?
Right.
Like me, I think I'm Casamigos, Don Julio. I think that's my thing. I think with some people, I could maybe even go lower the Casadores. But she don't got to ring that bell with me. With this ugly motherfucker, she's got to ring the bell
several times.
Ding ding ding.
Yeah. If you have to go up at least 3.5 points, like son, like dip into that savings account. Like you buying Casa Azul.
Casa Azul, you gotta ring that fucking bell. If you guys don't know what that means, the top of the Casa Azul is like the ceramic tequila. It goes ding at the top, and yep. that's fucking.
Does it actually ding?
Yeah, it's a bell at the
don't
top.
Don't we have Casa Azul?
Yeah, I didn't know what ding.
Bring that shit right bring now.
Bring it out. I want to see it
it's
ding. I'll get it.
It's actually the top of the fridge. I can't get it. you got to go get it. I'm sorry.
I wasn't expecting it.
That's God, that's the truth.
That much. I don't
love
that much.
It's the truth. Yeah, that was a bell.
Do it again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You guys got to do like a light flick. Like...
Oh,
we spank it.
Spank it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Spank it.
Yeah, I can't believe we didn't know that.
Spank it. Hey. Casa Azul.
Order up. Number 46. Number 46.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Number 36. You order already?
Amir K has a great joke.
Like, I love it.
Bell Hot Fresh, but yeah, again, I'll let him do it.
I like
you know,
the
you know
bell.
What? I actually wanted to ask you about this, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're a comedian, obviously.
Sometimes.
And, yeah, sometimes. And you come across a lot of comedians, and mm-hmm. you meet people and everything. Have you met comedians that actually come up with similar jokes than you have
all
already
the time?
Had?
It's always so much linear thought.
Yeah.
I've never met Tom Segura, and I've never met Muhammad Omar, and I've had same jokes, and I see their special, and I'm like, fuck!
Yeah.
Because I even had, Mo Amer had a fucking great, like, he had a joke about the, like how everyone's the same name on Egyptian soccer teams.
Okay. So,
and I used to do the same joke. I used to be like, but like my joke was, I actually think my joke was better. Well, my joke was more like, there was a surprise at the end. Like his joke was just like, he was like, Muhammad to Muhammad, Muhammad to Muhammad, Muhammad to Muhammad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, because my mom was like, she wanted to name me Lawrence, but then my grandpa stepped in and named me Faisal. So and she's like, I'm so glad you don't, she's like, I'm so glad you have a more unique name than Muhammad or Ahmed. That's all. She's like, that's all I wanted to give you, something that wasn't Muhammad or Ahmed.
Right.
So it's funny because I was like, I was watching like the Saudi soccer team. I was like, Muhammad to Ahmed, Muhammad to Ahmed, Ahmed to Muhammad, Muhammad to Muhammad, 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 pass to Muhammad. Hey, Muhammad, and Muhammad kicks it to the bench. Why did he kick it to the bench? You told me pass to Muhammad. Not this Muhammad. Ahmed in the game. So that was like, and his thing was just like Muhammad to Muhammad. And I was like, I might have a surprise ending. And Tom Segura had an In-N-Out joke. Because I had a joke, I have an In-N-Out joke, but I dropped it because also another guy named Vincent O'Shea, has an amazing In-N-Out joke, one of the best In-N-Out jokes ever. He's so fucking funny, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had it, and like I never heard his, and then he was like, "Hey, someone's saying you're stealing my joke." He's like, "It's all good, but here's the clip." I was like, "Well, I didn't steal it.
Yeah,
I didn't see yours." And the same, and then I saw Tom Segura's. I was like, "Fuck, it's a."
So he actually addressed you.
Somebody told him secondhand.
Oh, right.
I was like, "Bitch, I ain't stealing shit. Like, I'm not stealing anything." Our jokes were different.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Our jokes were different."
Right.
But the only thing that we had, so in LA, growing up here, you don't call it In and Out. You call it In and Wait.
Sure.
Because you never wait.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
him and I had a similar. I was like, "When's the last time you've been in and out of that motherfucker?"
Yeah.
No, it's like you go in and you go in, and then my joke was like, I dropped the joke altogether because A, it's only relevant to like five states. So
yeah, exactly.
I was like, "You're so far back." They say, "Fuck it, we'll send someone to you."
Yeah.
And then little kid comes out with the iPad. And then the thing that Tom so that was like, that was part of our thing. His like in and wait by the soda machine, motherfucker. And like his joke is amazing. Go look it up later. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was and I see. And then Tom Segura, he has like, because I had a joke about like, oh, you're going to, like, you know, he has a joke about like, are you going to be eating this in your car today? You know, when they ask you, are you going to be eating this in your car today?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you know, like, his joke was like, yeah, you fat fuck, you can't wait, can you? It's funny. That's really funny. It was better than my thing. And my thing was like, yeah, you know how you guys have like tables, chairs, and it's like, that's not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I was, I'm going to go around back, sit in my car. Play AM radio, cry while eating this burger.
Yeah,
And I was like, "Do you guys think like the kids are still like going on these cute little dates where they have like a milkshake and a burger, go up to make out?" But I was like, "Kids don't go on dates to eat In-N-Out no more.
No.
They go on dates to eat ass." Like, bro, it's like, come on.
Yeah, do Molly and eat ass
real quick.
Yeah, no, 16. Yeah, no, ass.
Boom.
Boom.
That's the ass bell now.
There we go.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because we just started comedy. We started making jokes and everything.
Yeah.
And like there was this one joke that I identified with, like the fact you said, I don't trust the vaccine because of the PlayStation. Sony makes PlayStation. And like I started laughing my ass off because I have a very similar joke.
I had to hold him back from stage. He was coming up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I was like, what is that?
I stole it from you.
I was like, what? But my joke is it has a similar premise, but it goes longer and it's different.
You know?
But I say the similar thing.
Yeah. And again, you can always like do something similar as long as it's not exactly the same. Because you know what I always say? You don't write jokes, you discover jokes.
Yeah.
It's just like music. The notes are there. You just got to put them together.
Right.
That's the same thing with a joke. You know, it's you've never invented a joke. You discovered a joke.
Sure.
Right.
Because you're like driving down the highway and you're like, clunk, it hits you in the middle of it.
I don't even drive with the radio on it. I just talk to myself the whole time now. I love the long trips because I just talked about. I mean, if I'm going like fucking to San Diego, I'm not gonna be like.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I will if I'm doing like a 30-minute set or something. I will fucking just sit there and just talk. I really don't need to, but sometimes, like, cause sometimes I'll like come up with something to, cause every word is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, I don't know, that one, no, that one, like ass, no booty, you say booty.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's just,
so you just keep on replaying what you're working on.
Yeah.
And just tweaking.
Sometimes I just talk and I find great shit. Like a lot of my best jokes though have been like me just having conversations, besides the ones where like it's my mom and a story.
Yeah.
Because those are my best.
Those are embedded.
I just work on that. That bitch is funny as fuck.
Right.
I owe my whole career to her because she's just hilarious. Intentionally and unintentionally.
Right, right.
But like I was just having a conversation with Tony Rock the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking, and I was like, he was like, why do you mumble so much? I was like, well, I'm Arab. I have two volumes. It's high and loud, I was like, genetically we can't whisper. So I was like, I have to mumble. He's like, why are you mumbling? He's like, why the fuck you mumble? And I was like, dude, you know how loud Arabs are, bro? The black people in the theater told us to shut up. And he's like, you say that shit on stage? I was like, okay, yeah. Well, you better. I was like, yeah, I was like, that was a joke. I was like, I'm gonna make that my new joke. I didn't even wrote it yet, but yeah, I was like, yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah. I was gonna make that one of my new jokes. Like, they're like, hey, yeah. Arab guys, can you shut up? It's kind of hard for us to talk about this movie with you all loud ass over here. All right. Hey, where you going outside?
There's levels of that shit.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to work it out. But it was just on Wednesday. He was like, say that shit on stage.
Yeah.
There's nobody funnier. There's nobody that's laugh per minute funnier than probably Tony Rock.
Tony Rock. That was good. We saw him on that show.
Oh, the Jam of the Band show. Yeah. I got him to do that show. Because everyone hits me up for booking and I'm nice. I'm like, all right. I just want you to like me.
I love to see him work the stage because he came with a set. And then he was like, "Oh, that's not the crowd here." And you immediately saw him switch.
He didn't do that. I'll tell you what he does.
Yeah.
So this is what he does. He does crowd work and weaves his material in. He talks to you. That night, honestly, that was probably the weakest I've seen him, because he literally was just talking, not that much going on. Like, mm-hmm.
It was just a small crowd because the Clippers game was going on. Lakers were happening.
The second show was packed. His B set is most people's greatest set of their life.
Right. Sure.
And I'll tell you a quick story because I have such a good memory. I remember everything that happened that night.
Totally.
So I brought my homies, like because they're black. I did grow up with a lot of black friends, and I brought my boys, and they sat right in the front row. He was like, hey, what up? He's like, what's up? He's like, oh, cool. I'm going to do my comedy just for these three. The rest of y'all mind your business. He's like, what's your name, brother? I do a good Tony Rock, brother. I do great impressions, but only of comedians. He's like, what's up, brother? What's your name? And my friend's like, Jamal. He's like, of course it's Jamal. What the fuck else would your name be? He's like, what's up, Jamal? When'd you get out?
Oh, shit.
And he's like, all right, we're going to find a sexy white woman for Jamal. Let's go. He's like, any sexy white woman want to give my man Jamal? He just got out of jail. Let's go. Let's give it to him. And this gay guy in the back's like, I'm a sexy white woman.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, Jamal, I know you can't see it behind you, but that is not a sexy white woman. But you've been in jail, motherfucker. You know what? It's all the same, right?
It's all the same shit.
Yeah, and then the guy's like, hey, sexy white girl, what's your name back there? And the guy's like, Jeffrey Alexander. He's like, damn, motherfucker, give me the whole thing. he was like a fashion line.
Yeah.
What are you wearing? Bitch, I'm wearing Jeffrey Alexander.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
He just did all that. And then he was like, and then he weaved. He has like, I'm not going to give away his material, but he has a material about gay people that is written. And he weaved it. He's like, why the fuck would you ever? And then he just did it. And it's seamless. And he does it every single fucking time. You know how many jokes Tony Rock's written for Chris? It's crazy.
Oh,
sure.
He ghostwrites for Chris a lot. And he ghostwrites. I mean, don't get me wrong. Chris is like amazing in his own
right.
He's done it. But, you know, they are very similar. But Tony makes me laugh per minute more. I think Chris just has the more meaningful, like, that shit you think about 10 years later.
Well, when you see him work, you're like, oh, this is like a pro's pro. You know, he has all of this program for any space in the crowd that's needed.
He's
going to work it through.
Yeah, he's had his chance at specials, and he turns them down for his own reasons.
Interesting.
I think it's a monetary thing. I think it's like, well, they're not coming correct with money. I don't need it. He doesn't need it. Because he has so many opportunities with other stuff.
It's wild.
And, you know, he could sell out, and maybe he doesn't want to kill all this material. Like, that's another, like, Bobby Lee for some. Well, refuse to do a special, and I'm like, and there are comedians who have gotten specials and stolen from Bobby Lee, and I'm like, at this point, it's on you.
If
you do material, like they're stealing it 20 years from now.
Yeah.
But he has Tiger Belly, so he's set for life, so it doesn't matter.
He seems to be he seems to be content.
Yeah.
He's annoying as fuck. But he's a cool guy. He's annoying as fuck.
I was listening to Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino on the way here.
Oh, I love Bad Friends.
Yeah,
Bad Friends. I love Santino.
Santino, actually the first time we went to Supernova. Was it the first time or the second time?
Second time
we went to Supernova. Santino was there. Great shit. He was talking so much shit on me. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, he was like,
he's savage.
He tried to take you with him on the trip.
On the trip. He was like, hey, look what you in your fucking blue jacket. He was hilarious.
That was the first show I was there. Yeah, I closed the show, right?
Yeah,
that was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good one. But I love like comedians when they do crowd work, and then we're talking about that. Like, we're actually just talking about like how can you mix your real material in with crowd work, because it seems so seamless. And we're like, how do these people like how are they so good? But we didn't realize it's actually like a mix, a hybrid of essentially of your material.
Well, you get more comfortable when you could do it. There's crowd work like isn't for everybody. I always thought I was never going to be able to do it, and then I started. Laugh Factory, you had me give me a started making me a host. That's how I got in first. I was just doing like little spots opening for the host, and then I moved up. And they're like, "Hey, how'd you like to have your own show?" And I was like, "Well, when you're a host, you got to talk to these people. You got to break the ice." So I was like, "Oh, let me just talk." And I was just like, and I watched guys like Tony Rock, and I watched guys like, and I watched Ian Bagg, who's probably the best crowd work comedian. I'd say Tony's second. D'Elia, who's also a great crowd work comedian. And like I watched these people, and I was like. And I was like, yeah. And then you just get comfortable. The point is when you get comfortable in there, you're not afraid of like a little silence. At first, you just want to like, I got to make them laugh. You don't need to.
Well, as a host too, you have a little less pressure because in a sense, I'm thinking you can kind of sit back. They're not expecting so much from you.
Yeah.
You would think, but it depends.
You feel the pressure.
Oh, you know, the host probably has the hardest job. He's got to crack the ice.
Okay.
He's got to make them feel welcome. He also is not getting the respect that the other he has to win over the audience. When you're hosting, you have to win over the audience more than because the other people.
Yeah.
You know what pissed me off? I used to read Laugh Factory Yelp reviews, and they're like, "Oh my god, went to a show, hilarious." Even the host was funny. I'm like, I'm a comedian too, bitch. I'm just hosting this show.
Oh,
I'm just like, I'm not just a host. I'm not fucking like, I'm not fucking Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
I'm not Conan O'Brien. I am actually a comedian who is hosting this show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was like, you come back tomorrow. I'm on the show regularly.
Right. But you're so right. A novice guest. Oh, is yeah. looking at it like that.
Yeah.
So they're sitting there going, dude, this host is just kind of going to do the best
they
can.
Yeah, it was thing there. Is that okay? I just want to make sure it didn't like stop recording or some shit.
This is
no, on. That's
our live. Okay. Your Pornhub came up.
That's our live recording that doesn't necessarily
matter. Well, we're live on OnlyFans right now.
Ah, sick.
Yeah. We're recording separately and we're recording live.
So like as the host, you have, it's way harder.
Yeah.
I actually, another thing during the pandemic, so I host at Laugh Factory. But I am refusing to host right now. I'm not hosting your shows.
A protest.
It's not that. I just don't want to be labeled as a host.
Only. Got it.
Because
got
there
it.
Are those comedians that are like, this is the host. And the host, because the host also makes the most money. I don't know if you guys know that.
Oh, no.
A host at comedy clubs makes the most money. Not like I'm going to host for my friend Jade Catapretta at Jam in the Van, like, because she's doing her 1 hour. But I'm like, that's not like me hosting a showcase show. That's me hosting for someone practicing for their special. So I'm like, that's me featuring. That's me opening for
them.
That's different than like me hosting at the Laugh Factory Comedy Store. Where it's like, you know, because I refuse, because there are these guys who just are perennial hosts.
Yeah.
They don't, and they're just there to make money. And I don't want that.
No.
Because it's a trap.
Yeah, total
trap. If you're trying to do it for real.
Yeah. And there are people who like literally, they are in comedy for money. They don't write. They don't try new shit. They don't work material.
Right.
They don't care. I told like when I started doing shows with Supernova. Like at first I was just getting booked and they're like, dude, you bring a crowd, you're funny, can you want to partner with us on a night or two? Maybe you could help us out with some booking.
Right.
Wow. I was like, I love it. You guys are great to me. I like the Houston brothers that own the place. Everything was great. I was like, yeah.
Oh, that's how that happens. Okay.
Yeah. So they were like, so I was like, yeah, it's dope. Let's do it. Let's have a couple nights together. So I think I'm like, you know, I was there every Wednesday. I think we're going to split Wednesday and Sunday now.
Yeah.
But it was dope. And I was like, I don't have to host. And I told him the most important thing to me, like, oh, do you want to go up tonight? I was like, yes, every time I'm going there. People are here to see me.
Yeah.
They're not here to just see the other people. They're here to see me. So more important to me than the money is the stage time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I have opportunities to make money. I'm okay with money.
Right.
I'm not balling, but I'm not like, oh, I need these shows to fucking make my rent.
Right.
Like, so I was like, that's more important to me. And I like that stage and I like the... I like the place. I like the vibe. It's a great venue.
Did they come up just through COVID?
Yep.
Okay.
That one of the Houston brothers had. There was an alley.
Yeah.
Their office is upstairs, and he was like, and then he said he got laughed at by his brother and his business partner. He was like, and they did it, and they have other events there. Like they'll have like private events, or they have like bar, like pop up bar things.
Yeah. Okay.
But it is such a great, and they're doing a lot for comedy.
It was such a blessing to find that show.
Great event.
Because we were always looking just for like, when is this going to happen again?
Yeah, we just
I was
get
one
out.
Of those people that like, I would go to the Comedy Store weekly.
Yeah.
Oh, just, yeah.
Like every, definitely every Monday, and I really liked like a Tuesday or Wednesday to kind of like flex it in there. I just love the comedy game. I love watching people work on their stuff, and I like to, you know, sit in the back and work on mine and then try to get on open
mic. And steal jokes, you piece of shit.
Yeah,
stealing jokes. Fucking hack. Fucking hack.
Yep.
But then everything went away, and we're like sitting there going, every comedian's leaving the city.
They're
is
doing,
this ever going to come back?
They're doing fucking Zoom comedian shows.
Oh, that was awful. I quit in June. You wanted that was funny? This is when I finally had it. When I finally had, I said it in fucking June. I was doing it. They had me wake up for the middle. By the way, I am not someone who is like good without comedy. I need to get that fucking thing out.
Yeah.
Or else
yeah.
I'm just going to drink. And I was doing ketamine and mushrooms. And it was like Wednesday at 10 a.m. I was like, why not? What do I have to live for? They took everything from me. They took my college gigs.
Yeah.
I was like, I was going to get looked at by an agent. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I was like, ketamine on a Wednesday. Anyway, so they had me wake up. It was Friday night. So I was partying hard throughout the, and I was like, Friday night, I wake up drunk.
Yeah.
Also a little K'd out. And I have to do a Zoom show for the Middle East because it's like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
I get up there. I sit there. I'm like, guys, you want me to be funny? There's a fucking cop car down the street on fire from the house, from my house. What am I supposed to be like? There's a cop car. I can see it from my fucking balcony on fire.
Yeah.
And there are people protesting in the streets and I I'm supposed to be like, don't you hate when your Amazon package is late? I'm supposed to be like, funny. I was like, I don't feel like it right now. I don't fucking feel like it.
Yeah.
And I
you're just sitting like watching, looking at your computer, sitting down.
I was ahead of my phone. I was looking at my window, and there's people marching and protesting. I could see sunset from where I got the light. I was like, dude, all my friends growing up were black. I was like, fuck this, dude. I care. I don't want to fucking be funny on Zoom right now, which is not even fun, by the way.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be there, like. While people are getting killed by the hands of the police and there's people this and I was like, also, like, as much as I'm BLM, my fucking tax dollars pay for that car. Can you fuck? Like, I'm like, what the fuck? My tax dollars pay for that car. I'm like, yeah. Can we just like negotiate? Like, all right, like
it's another 60 grand.
It's like, I was like, can we negotiate? Like, hey, we won't the price of that car. Yeah. You got to donate to a school in South Central.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, how about, can we negotiate? And
right.
I was like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. What about little Jamal in Inglewood who's not getting a computer? Sorry, Black Lives Matter. Not yours, Jamal, but that's my friend Jamal. He grew up to meet Tony Rock. Isn't that cool? That's a circle story.
Yeah,
that's sick. We all collectively had to go through this bizarre experience.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel for guys like yourself who you're like, you are next up in comedy.
Right.
You are sitting right on that cusp where everybody who's going to local LA shows knows you. And I think you're getting prepared to get introduced to the larger,
the national
everybody
audience.
Who cares.
I literally had the most road I ever had. I was getting college gigs. I never had that. I was opening for big comics. I had some tour dates and stuff. But the good thing about I'm actually grateful for them. At first, I was like, what the fuck? I don't know. I'm depressed. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? I have no money. I went through my savings. I fucking was having a hard time getting unemployment. I finally did. It was fine. But it was so depressing. But the best thing that happened for one, I got in touch with who I am.
Yeah.
My stage presence got better.
Yeah.
That's another reason I did the Zoom, because I stopped doing the Zoom because it's making me worse when I actually get on a stage.
Sure. Right, it was fucking me up. Right.
And it's also like having a non-alcoholic beer. What the fuck is the point?
No, that's so mad. That's mad weird, son.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I said was like, dude, I'm not doing this. It's making me a worse comic.
Yeah.
And it was rough when I got back because I was like, I'm not good right now. I was like, this is terrible. Obviously, I was going to be rusty, but it was not good. I was like, I refuse to do them.
Yeah.
And then
someone got heckled on Zoom at some point, and they fully quit the comedy business for sure.
Oh, damn. Yeah. It was so fucking bad. And I was just like,
how many people would be watching these Zoom calls?
Oh, sometimes. Well, I didn't. Don't get me wrong. I was getting. I got thousands from colleges to do it for their students.
Oh shit!
And all these little motherfuckers put their mic things on mute. I'm like, do you like this or what the fuck? Get off mute.
Yeah.
I was like, unmute. I need to hear. Like,
so you wanted to hear just even if it was cross banter.
I saw this. I saw it. I'm like, that's not good.
I can't tell.
Am I doing it for deaf kids? Like.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, it was so fucking bad. It was so fucking bad. And I just like, I was like, I'm not doing it. And I refused. And then, like, but the good thing is, like, so I started writing. I wrote a show. I got hit up to write a show.
Yeah.
And I wrote it all during COVID, and we eventually shot it in September.
Cool.
And, you know, it was a small project, but we did it, and it made me a better writer. And I'm really proud, and I'm really grateful
for COVID, because I wouldn't have had the opportunity to sit and write. And yeah. I mean, my show's on Amazon Prime, by the way.
Please yeah, watch there it. We go.
Yeah. It's called Burb Patrol, like suburbs.
Check out Burb Patrol on
Amazon. Burb Patrol, B-U-R-B Patrol on Amazon Burb. Prime.
Yeah,
it's great. It's starring really big people like Jahan Jones and Matt Rife.
Yeah.
And a bunch of famous TikTokers that I thought couldn't act and they could. And I was like so fucking happy.
Yeah.
Like I remember I was like, ah, fuck, I got a guy tomorrow. I was like, I'm going to have to help. And I'm in it a little bit too. I was fat during it though. I broke my foot during COVID.
Yeah.
At a BLM protest, trying to kick his ass for.
That's what you fucking get. Yeah.
Yeah. He dropped his burning cross on my leg.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but we had to slow you down. You guys were marching way too quick.
Way too fast.
Anything's quick compared to a white guy. Come on, man. How are you guys moving so fast? Even camera running the 4440 compared to you.
Like, look at those guys in the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great show, and I was right out of it, so I'm grateful for that. It also made me a better writer because I learned to get to the point faster.
Totally.
Because I used to write like long fucking 5 minute bits. Every joke was 5 minutes.
Sure.
Totally. And I was like, what the fuck? And now I like can make it quick and get to the point. Like it's trimming fat is hard. It's like you're like, yeah. This is funny. Well, I was like, which one's funnier? Lose one.
Yeah. I'm still stuck in this like the whole storyteller thing.
Me too. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Long drawn out.
Yeah. Me too.
Dude, that was me, and it was Bert Kreischer does that, and fucking and you know Eddie Murphy is a storytelling comedian.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, I mix the two, but I have observational. Mostly a mix of racial observational, fuckboy observational. I call it fuckboy humor mixed with Arab humor. And then, but I also tell stories.
Yeah.
Because that story about my mom is true.
Right.
I don't want to give away my dog, but you know, she fucking was me. She did send me fucking pictures of fat people saying it was me.
Yeah. And that's judgmental moms for you. I mean, shit.
Yeah, she's a bitch. No. She's the light of my life. She's the best thing I ever had.
At the end of the day, these moms just want to best for you, but we explain it in the weirdest fucking possible way you can possibly.
Yeah, my mom's funny, but she just like, we're just really tight. We're like brother and sister almost.
Yeah.
Because my dad bounced when I was five, so we really like, we were really tight. We joke with each other. I even told her that I she works at she doesn't want me to give away her job, so I won't. But she didn't want me to give it away to somebody else. She works for the Saudi consulate, but she didn't want me to give it away to somebody. She didn't want me to tell somebody else.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I was like, that's okay, mom. I just told me you're a prostitute. And that's how we go back and forth. She's like, she's fucking funny.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We're just like that. Like even when I was like a kid, she's like, hey, don't forget to take out the trash. I'm talking about yourself. Go outside.
Get your ass outside.
She's funny as hell. I thought I got it from like trauma. I got it from her. She's fucking funny.
That's cool.
She's got a great sense of humor.
That's good, man. Get that funny bone for sure. Like I was gonna ask you, where'd that funny bone come from?
Depression.
Clearly, depression.
No, depression. No, first it started with depression. No, so yeah, I had a very traumatic life. Was born here. At 1 year old, we moved to Saudi Arabia. One of my earliest memories is just getting bombed during the Gulf War.
Oh, shit.
Dad putting gas mask on me. Come back here. Was abusive dad. I don't remember the abusive dad, but he was terrible. But abusive father.
Mm.
Bounced at five. He kind of came in. He was a deadbeat dad.
Jeez.
So that, but I remember just like, I used to watch Tom and Jerry cartoons when I was like from three on. I have like such a great memory. I remember things from when I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, like, wow. Really well.
Okay.
My dad was a mathematician. He taught me to play chess at 3 years old.
Cool.
Like I wasn't good, but he taught me the moves. He taught me how by kindergarten I was able to subtract with fractions. I'm sorry, with decimal points.
Yeah.
And then he bounced and I was like, all right. And then I was just depressed. I have number dyslexia because he gave me anxiety from numbers.
Because he was
abusive. And if I got the answer wrong, apparently hit me. I don't remember that. My mom reminded me, but she reminded me the funniest way, like a terrible way. She's like, you remember your dad used to hit you, but you get the answer? I was like, no. Now I do.
She's like, black out. You're like,
gives you a flashback in the middle of dinner.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, here's the check. I don't want to see that fucking thing.
Yeah. I don't want to see that shit.
No, but she, so her and I got really, I remember just watching Jim Carrey. And it was Jim Carrey, Martin Lawrence, and Chris. I remember just seeing them.
Yeah.
When I was like, those are the three of the people that I was like, when I saw them, I was like, oh, I want to be funny. I was like, I wanted to be that.
Yeah.
I was like, we could be funny. I was like, I want to be that. I was like, Jim Carrey, when I saw fucking The Mask and saw him on In Living Color, I was like, I want to be like that guy.
My mom
didn't speak English. So she was a college educated woman, grew up very, very wealthy, very, very wealthy. But you know, she got all her money left behind. Her and I had to share a bedroom between 5 and 8. She was a woman who had servants and maids and butlers, and we struggled.
Wow.
But the funny thing is again, we made this really tight, but like I just remember, like she didn't monitor what I watched because she didn't speak English. I remember I was watching Family Matters, and he said funk. He's like, Dad ain't got no funk. And she's like, well, she say F word? I was like, no, Mom, it's funk. She's like, what is funk? I was like, it's like music. I don't know. Like, she's like, I don't trust you. Watch something good for kids. Simpson here. Watch Simpson.
Get the cartoons.
And then the next word was like, Apu saying, we're going to put that bitch on ice. Like, which is a way better Indian accent than what the fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, it's interesting because like, you kind of mentioned like depression and you said like Jim Carrey. Like, it's interesting. So like, you see like this person filled with like joy and action and movement, and you're just like, I don't know what it is, but something he has inside of him I just want to get a hold of, you know. And
I didn't want to fuck him. What are you talking about?
I'm saying like you know, something in like the joy inside of him, let's just say. But then you learn over time that like essentially these guys have the same crap inside of them that you do.
Yeah.
And they're building off of like, you know, whatever they came up from, and they're kind of just using that as fuel to like, you know, make them better essentially. I mean,
absolutely.
I'll tell you this, like, dude, my life was really, really bad, really awful. Really awful growing up. I'm blessed. My mom did her best, but there was a lot of bad things that happened to us.
Yeah.
Like, even after my dad, after that, like we had a stepfamily. They were even worse. The stepfamily was abusive too. And wow. I had many, many things that, you know, like, I've had so many traumatic things happen to me. And, you know, and it's not like, and everybody has their shit. Everybody has their shit.
You
know, I'm not
but
like,
you personally deal with it. So you're like, yo.
Yeah, someone who anyone would ever say like, oh, that guy's fucking depressed.
Right.
Yeah, and they just be like, oh, that guy's fun. Mm. That guy's fun. And then I start realizing my 30s, like, yeah, the fucking party drinking shit. That's the depression.
That's what you're dealing with.
Like, the comedy saved my life. The comedy saved my life because it gives me an outlet for that shit.
Totally.
Where I now only do coke 3 times a week.
There you go.
No, but
that's
a
reformed man. That's Christian.
Christian man.
Yeah. I'm pretty much the Prophet Muhammad myself, and I can't go back to Saudi now.
Yeah.
But what do you say?
Like, chop, chop.
Done.
I fucking hear. I think I hear my mom throwing a slipper from Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
But
like
anyway,
boomerang, just back.
Oh, she can nail me for across the room with that. Yeah. Just with a flip flop or a wooden spoon.
Precision.
I have never seen a wooden spoon in my house used for cooking, only for my ass as a kid.
Yo, mom's
that
got
just reminds me of like George Bush, like dodging the boot.
The boot.
That was the boot. Yeah, that's good. My mom would have nailed him.
She would have hit him right.
She would have hit him with a flip flop.
Hit his ass.
She would have been. Yo, for you.
Moms have mad precision when they're angry. It's expert level. It's almost as if like women should be better mad drivers.
Maybe they should be better at sports.
Yeah, it should be.
Maybe they shouldn't have to throw a softball like this if they can hit you with a slipper when they're angry. Just picture the man you're mad at. And I guarantee you, every girl could fucking pitch for the Dodgers.
Dude, mad physical women's soccer. U.S. soccer. They're the best team in the world.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're better than the men's team.
Oh, my God. And they just aim, kick, and boom.
How much you want to bet the women's team could actually beat the men's team?
Oh, absolutely.
They're good. Yeah, and they're fine. Some of them are fine.
Mm-hmm. What's that one goalie? That one goalie chick?
Oh, Hope Solo?
Hope Solo, yeah. I've seen
Hope Solo is nice.
Hope Solo is nice, but you know who? Yeah. What's that? What was her?
Oh, the other chick.
What was the one that was really hot?
She's like the forward. Not Chelsea.
Wombat, the lesbian. No, I'm kidding. I'd smash her, though.
The chick with the short hair.
The girl with the short blonde hair.
Yeah.
She's always getting a commercial.
Wasn't it Megan something?
She used to kick with the left foot.
She had eyes and the
pretty
ass. What a cutie! Right.
But there's only two. Like how we always like we have a soccer team, two hot women, the goalie and that
and then
one.
We had that dope midfielder, the girl who like scored and like took her shirt off at the end.
We're like,
I need more of that. I need more of that.
Mm-hmm. More all
it's
of
funny. This they had a, like, you know, Saudis, like, you know, they like to watch like, you know, Manchester United, whatever. They pay them to do like a friendly with the local team,
right? Mm-hmm.
And they fucking, you know, pay them a ton. And then one guy scored a goal and he takes off his shirt. Goes to jail because he revealed himself. Because
no.
You can't tell. Now in Saudi, Saudi's different now. Yeah, Saudi's different. Again, I'm half Saudi. Because
that was
Iraqi.
2 years ago. Yeah, different.
Different time.
See, now they can watch movies. They can drive cars.
Why are you bringing up old shit? it's like, dude, I mean, yeah, what is it, like 3 years ago, like, women could drive now?
Yeah, women could drive. Well, they can finally watch movies.
Like, people like hate on MBS. I'm like, I know he's got an issue. But like, dude, he's doing great things. It's like, dude, you can fucking, it's a tourist country now. You used to have to like, he was locked. He was like, it's open. He's doing technological things. He's letting women drive. He's like, you don't got to wear that shit. He's bringing alcohol in the country.
Yeah.
You know, all these Arab men die from high blood pressure because they can't have a fucking drink.
Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah.
No, we drink. Arabs,
I feel
Arabs,
like there's got to be some underground drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, there's tons.
It's got to be fun parties, right?
No one goes by the rules.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of countries religious, they don't drink.
Yeah.
I met with the police captain when I was in Saudi.
Yeah.
Because I never really knew my Saudi family, like, until I was like, I went there at like
15 years old. I went to Saudi Arabia just to meet like my mom's side. I was like, why are we getting picked up in two Escalades? I was like, bitch, we could have lived here the whole time. You guys shared a bedroom for 3 years.
I was poor back home. What the fuck?
I'm still poor now. I think my mom just wanted me to get the opportunity here. She didn't want to mooch off the family. Like, and she just like, I think her retirement plan is going to Saudi. I was like, bitch, that could have been my life. I don't care. I would have kept the unibrow. I would have been like, I would have fucking 6 gallons of cologne. I don't care. I would have done it. I would have done it happily.
I just always imagine there's like these social dynamics. So it's definitely different than here. But I feel like once the guy leaves on like probably like a Thursday or Friday night, shuts the door, the women turn up. Oh, yeah. And the guy's like basically walking, thinking like, yeah, I got my girl at home. She's doing nothing.
You know, honestly,
no, she's turning up. You're turning up. Yeah. And everything's still happening. Yeah. But it is probably happening a little bit more separate.
Saudi Arabia is an interesting country in the way it is. Because like, they're, again, most of the rich people, I mean, the country's only 25% super rich. Yeah. And everybody else is poor.
Right.
And like,
Really rich.
Like really rich. Like a millionaire is middle class there. That's the middle class.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. My mom was like, your uncle, he's like middle class. I was like, he's a multimillionaire, a 3-story house with 2 Escalades and a gazelle for some reason.
I had a Saudi princess kind of give me eyes once in Dubai once.
Mm. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. There's only 8,000.
She was peeking through and I was like, I see you.
Dude, yeah, I remember one month in there, I literally was checking out like women's eyes and because I was so horny after 1 month. Plus, I was like, oh, can I jerk off in my home? It was like,
I feel like you kind of have to. Like,
I definitely jerked off.
You can't really see shit. You can only see the eyes. And you're just like thinking of like just the, like right between the hole.
Oh, don't worry. But the, what I'm saying is that most of the
time. It's kind
of
like COVID.
Yeah.
Like my family, nobody wears a scarf. Nobody, because it's not, because they're educated and they're Western. And the thing is, like, you don't have to wear a scarf. That's not in the Quran. The Quran says to wear a, and by the way, I'm like a pantheist atheist. So, but like, I grew up like Muslim. You don't have to wear a scarf. You're supposed to cover up when you're praying. After that, doesn't matter. Mm. And then the women that were married to the Prophet, they wore scarves around town, so everyone would know those 4 women are the wives of the Prophet. So they knew. Then the women start copying, and then Arab sexism came. Like, let's just cover the bitch up.
Yeah. Well, it's what I saw. Like, because I was at like a tech convention in Dubai.
What a shithole.
And it's
like Vegas. There's one nice part. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But there was the richer the lady got, the less she was concerned about the garb. Like she would would come on. So the richest lady in the spot was hair was down.
Right.
No. And everybody was like, "Who's that?" And then everyone was like, "That she can do that, but no one else can."
Well, the thing is, like, go look at the royal family of Saudi Arabia. There's 8,000 princes.
Well, yeah, why are they so big? First of all,
because it starts with the king, the original king of Saudi.
Yeah.
And he had 4 wives at a time, and then his kids 4 wives at a time, and blah blah blah. Now there's like 4 or 8,000. I have numbers.
That sounds exhausting.
That's
the,
so you. But they literally pulling out,
bro. They got oil money, bro. It's like there's no fucking deadbeat dad Saudi family.
Yeah, there's no lack.
Everyone's driving a spaceship.
You're not lacking, homie.
Yeah,
you're full abundance. You fucking 4 kids.
So there's the Al Saud family is a great family. They're fucking liberal and they're great and they like. Most of them are just normal. I have not met one Saudi princess that outside Saudi Arabia wears their scarf because you don't have to because it doesn't make sense. And my family is – my mom's religious.
Yeah.
She wears a scarf when she prays. She doesn't drink alcohol. She doesn't eat pork. She is very, very – you know she's
very conservative in that sense.
She's conservative in certain ways. Like, and she's good. She's not someone who's going to have sex before marriage or outside of marriage. I'm sure she did her thing. I think she's still a virgin personally, but
– You like to think that.
I have a question. So what happens, right, when one of the 4 wives of the Saudi royal family that just married in, what happens if she wants to get a divorce? Can she file for half of the family's money?
She can get her head chopped off.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
That's your divorce, bitch. That's you, half your head, bitch.
That's the way it is.
That's
bitch.
How the money keeps moving.
That's the money stays in the family. No, that's we don't lose shit.
So if the woman cannot, of course, it's still a sexist cut. Don't get me wrong. Hey, but please, give us a little. We are only 100 years old. Please, we're just learning. I'm a dual country, 110 years old. Cameron, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, like, 110, that's like 1910. No, it's eight, like, that's still like 1860. 60 some shit. No, hell no. They're looking for the strong niggas. I would have been done dead.
You had to be really charming and in the house.
Yeah, I would have been in the motherfucker. Or the jester. I would have been the jester eating the white woman's pussy in the background and make sure the husband doesn't go home first.
Like, why do we keep this guy around? He's not, he can't lift shit. He's like, he does other things.
Yeah, I'm just like wiping my face.
He's just there with the fan.
Lord, have mercy.
Oh my God.
I would have kept myself alive. Trust my ass. And just say,
oh man.
Nah, niggas ain't dying over here. So, I was just thinking of the wife and everything. And like, yeah.
By the way, that's a bit.
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah,
you should do it. That's a bit. Write that. Go home and write that. That's your bit right there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, but actually jokes and writing jokes and stuff. I think a lot of stuff in the bathroom, when I'm walking, when I'm driving, whatever, some nonsense. I'll think of like something. But what one thing I definitely will click is like a premise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of like, oh, that would be funny. I would think of Casa Azul and let's just say Blacking Out. Let's just say Casa Azul and $48 shots Blacking Out. And then you kind of like connect the dots. Almost like, remember that? Remember the one Ad-Lib book? And then you would
give Mad Libs?
Mad Libs, yeah. And you're feeling like...
I like how he was one letter off from saying it.
You feel like verb, adjective, pronoun, proposition, whatever. And then like I kind of like take that and be like, oh, like fill in the blank a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes I get it wrong, sometimes I get it right. But sometimes like when you get it right, it's, you know, it's good shit. You know, and then you have... and then sure. But they all usually it all end up being race jokes. So...
bro, work with what you know.
Yeah.
God gave you two fucking funny things, your race and your height.
And
your huge penis. Talk about that on stage.
Exactly. You see, it's funny because I think my comedy comes from my dad. I thought he was going to say my dick. Yeah.
And I thought he was going to say my dad's dick.
I mean, technically, that's how I'm here, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, but my dad's always like, he complains a lot, but he's not like funny. And then like I got the complaining a lot. Turning it to funny. I try to. Uh-huh. And then he'd be like, well, these bitches applying for marriages and divorcing motherfuckers trying to get half the money, fuck. And then, like, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's hilarious.
Is he a TV rancher? Is he yelling at the TV? When you go home, he's
Judge Judy,
I want to go home with your dad. How much would you pay to watch that, like on OnlyFans or something?
Just
set up a webcam,
like an old racist guy,
or just chatting the Twitch.
Twitch account. I want to see an old racist guy yell at the TV, and yell at Fox News, and then
people are allowed to be racist.
Yell at Fox News, and then say like Fox News is racist, and then watch it more, and then of course we're totally allowed to be racist, but. Not anymore against Asians, apparently. That's not good.
No, they built the railroads. They didn't build the whole country. You got it.
You know, but Asians, the Japanese built the trains. So I don't know what to tell you. They did. True story. The trains in LA are from Japan.
Yeah, I know. We put them in camps.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a summer camp. Compared to what the Jews went through, but you know, I'm Arab, so I don't care about the Jews.
I was in Minnesota.
What's up with the Americans putting everybody in camps and shit?
What's up with white people putting people in camps?
Yeah, what's up with white people?
Well, one, we love camping. So that was one of my favorite childhood memories.
So it was in your mind, it's a good thing. It was like we sent them to camps.
Look, I mean, my parents, like when our dog bit one of our neighbors back in the day, it was a Rhodesian Ridgeback. It's an African hunting dog.
Fucking white people, they fucking have such unique dogs.
Yeah.
Of course, it has to be African Rhodesian.
Black people have Rottweilers.
They take the African shit away.
So mom and dad are like, hey, sorry, we had to send Breeze to camp, summer camp.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. I love summer camp. I was so happy. Summer ends, August is happening, September rolls around. I'm like, when does Breeze get back from camp? They're like, oh, he enjoyed it so much, he's going to stay.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So they're just lying to us, kids. Yeah. That's all that
Dad
happened.
Went to camp, your brother went to camp, your sister went to camp, your
the
mom.
The railroad people went to camp.
The railroad went to camp, everyone went to camp, and they're never coming back. So
That's fucking funny.
Yeah.
Not funny, sorry about your dog, but.
No, I was fine with it, he kind of sucks.
Yeah. So that's just funny, man. And no, like, man, I mean, dude, like, I want to, you know, wrap this up by saying, like, dude, like, you know, getting to know you as a up-and-coming comedian, like, first of all, we really appreciate it, number one.
Yeah. Pam is your biggest fan.
Big fan.
Biggest fan.
I can only claim second biggest fan.
Hey, man, my mom hates me, so it's okay. So that means I have two fans.
Yeah. No, we definitely really appreciate you. I think you're going to fucking kill it when you get there, and I think you're going to get there very fucking soon. We really appreciate you, man. And I want everyone to come check out my boy Faisal. What's your Instagram? Give your Instagram.
It's the real face, FACE. One word, because
My nickname is Face.
The Face.
Yeah, everyone calls me Face. So Face. My friends call me Face, and I made that before I was doing comedy, the Instagram. Yeah. Before I was doing comedy, and
before drugs.
Right.
No, I was on drugs.
Okay. Because Face, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Because my name is Faisal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just take out the hole, you got Face, and everyone called me. Yep. So I just one day, when I started Instagram, I just put the real Face. I don't know
face.
Why.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that kind of. And I was like, should I just change the Face of Lawrence? Face of Lawrence comment. And I was like, that kind of sounds official.
Yeah,
they can still find me by typing my name. Yeah. And I was like, how the fuck? It's also easier to find me than actually spelling out my name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was one time with this girl in the crowd. I was like, hey, yeah, follow me. And this girl's like, what is that? I'm like, the real Face. I just said it. Yeah. And she's like, I can't have mine. I was like, it's FAC. The real Face. FAC. Like, well, she's like, I am. I was like, fine. You want to find Face of Lawrence? She's like, found it. I was like, what?
Yeah. It's hilarious how when you say bitches like my name is, and then they like somehow their ears turn off. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, how many times I can't stress how many times I say my name is Cameron. What? Cameron? Huh? Is it camera?
I've never been there.
Is it yeah? Is it this that like every name but the fucking Cameron? And like so I stopped saying Cam.
Well,
I gotta make it simpler, and they're like, huh? Jam? Sam? Cam, motherfucker.
So, you want to try Faisal. By the way, I mostly introduce myself as Face.
Yeah.
I never really used my real name until until I started doing comedy.
Yeah.
I always just introduced myself as Face.
Right.
And then it was funny though, it's funny because like nobody gets it, but my favorite is old white guys because they've heard like of King Faisal.
Yeah.
Like his name is King Faisal.
Yeah.
But like there are different dialects where people pronounce it Faisal.
Sure.
But it's the name is Faisal. From the Gulf from Iraq down, it's Faisal. Everywhere else they say Faisal, but the name is Saudi, so it's Faisal.
Yeah.
It's Faisal. And I love old white people. I'm sorry. Like old white people say, but isn't your name pronounced Faisal? I was like, no, white man, I don't know how to say my name. Can you no, please? What?
That looks like debating you.
My mom yelled it through the courtyard of our apartment buildings growing up. But I don't. The whole neighborhood in Woodland Hills knows how to say my fucking name. But I guess we've got it wrong.
It's just so funny once you get a certain age in life. It's like 60, where you're like you're done learning.
I wish. Yeah.
And like, as it is the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
and it's really regardless of what race you are, you're just like,
oh yeah,
nope, I'm done.
Actually, I would say that white people are better than any race at that.
No,
we really lock it in. No.
I'm saying they're better at not. I'm sorry, I misspoke. I mean, they're better at being more accepting later in age than fucking an old. Try an old Arab. They're done at 40.
Yeah.
Try old Arab. Like,
old black people don't give a shit either.
Fucking young black people don't give a shit. Like, you know what I mean? My black friends. Fuck it. Like, I thank God a lot of my black friends are like culture. But anytime like someone orders well done steak at a nice, I'm like, God damn it.
I love well done steak.
Yeah.
I like it crispy. I like the seasoning more than the, you know.
No, dude, that's the thing. Fucking, it's so funny. Blacks and Saudis are so similar. If you draw a Venn diagram, they have so many similar things. Well, blacks are mixed. Saudis are mixed with blacks.
First of all, literally are. I mean, first of all, they came to Africa, went to the Middle East, and then they started the Middle East, and all of a sudden the Bible was written from the Middle East. So, like, we're from the, what is it called? The great vegetation spot or whatever the fuck it's called.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, the middle green area. And then they're like, this is the beginning. I'm like, no, it wasn't.
The Garden of Eden.
About 200 years in late.
Oh, that's what you said. Garden of Eden?
I thought
I was the hungover one.
All y'all niggas from Africa, half of y'all came from Dominican Republic of Congo. So. Anyway, my point is...
The reason that...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
I'm saying all, but everyone's black. Is what
I'm
saying.
The reason... Well, I'm saying Saudi specifically. The reason why is because...
But Jesus was white.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I would say black people, Persian, Saudi Arabians, we like luxury items for some reason. I'm just saying like Escalade.
There we go. Yeah.
I don't love me with those Persians. I'll be black, but no, I'm just kidding.
Shoes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Like, man, all
the
shit.
But like, the thing is, the reason Saudis are part black is because they mixed with the Sudanese. So Saudi Arabia is like Puerto Rico and Dominican, where like people are like, you could be Saudi.
Yeah.
I could be Saudi. He can't. But my dad was light. My dad was a light-skinned man.
Yeah.
He was Iraqi from the north. So he was like light, had green eyes.
Yeah.
My mom is like dark. I have a cousin who looks just like Craig David, I swear to God.
Yeah.
My cousin, yeah. He looks just like, his name is Jihad. He looks just like, it's an unfortunate name, post 9/11. Yeah. And
my name's Jihad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like, that was fun around 9/11. I was like, what's your name? I was like, I just go by Face. Yeah, that was
James.
Like, I was like, dude, it's a good thing I look Dominican because I never got any trouble during 9/11 except for one time. But anyway, I digress. back to the fucking, like, I'm telling you, black people love sweet shit. Arabs love sweet shit. Arabs, well done meat. Black people, well done meat. Like fucking too much cologne. Black people, too much cologne.
Escalades.
The grandma, yeah, they love flashy shit. Gold. Black people like, how about this? Black grandmothers, you're not leaving the house without a plate.
No.
Saudi grandma, same thing. Saudi and any Arab grandmother. And my favorite,
thick women.
Yeah. And my other thing, my favorite thing, there you go. Thick women. That's what we do not do. But,
Like and the
y'all be having thick daughters. I'm just saying. Well, go ahead.
It depends. Yeah. It depends.
Dang.
No, because they got cake. Saudis got cake.
They got cake.
I don't know what it's that really? Black. It's that black.
Yeah, it's the black and the Persian women have cake. And I'm like,
Persian
what's up?
Women, it's like a mix. You know who has the best asses in the world? And it's not. It's besides black.
Brazilians.
It's. I think this is the Armenians. Every Armenian has an amazing. Go look. The Kardashians.
Like,
by the way, I've seen the Kardashians. Before, like growing up in Woodland Hills, they were in Calabasas. I used to be a server in a place in Calabasas. I'm not gonna give the name of Maria's Italian Kitchen. I used to be there. They used to come in all the time. I want to, but you know, they still go there a lot. So I want to against Maria's Italian Kitchen on Mulholland Road. They go there all the time. They love it. But I want to respect their privacy.
Sure.
Of the Kardashians, yeah, Mulholland Road,
because we're gentlemen here.
They usually do to-go orders. You can catch them by the counter between 3 and 5. Anyway, they're all sweet. The whole family's gold, by the way.
Yeah.
I hope
Caitlin,
Bruce didn't know how to tip. I hope Caitlin learned how to tip. But other than that, the whole family's just Chris was.
You like, actually do learn that through transition, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's classes.
You maybe she was just angry. She's like, I'm saving up for this shit.
You learn how to be better. You learn how to run for governor. You learn how to do everything.
You had to shave my dick off.
I thought she was just taking off the dick so she could run the 40 again. I don't know. Anyway, but
running
like,
over something.
But they have the best asses. Like it's natural. Those so the Kardashian women. The genders are
those butts look borderline fake though.
They've got them enhanced now, but they always had nice asses. They've got them, of course, like done a little bit because they
got toned up. Yeah, it's their job.
But Kim used to be Brandy's assistant. We see her there picking up Brandy's salad. Brandy used to come in, and that was one of Brandy's. And she used to, before she got her job, she was like working in fashion stuff. She was Brandy's assistant.
Right.
And she worked under Brandy. And that's how she met Ray J. And we saw it all happen.
And then she worked under Ray J. Got it.
Yeah, that's how she met Ray J because she was, Brandy's brother.
Wow.
We just knew Kim was Brandy's assistant. We didn't know her. But, oh, yeah, that's the daughter of that Kardashian guy that represented OJ.
But you're saying.
That helped him get away with murder.
Fat ass back then.
Back then, and nothing. And I've seen this family grow up the whole, like, all of them. I remember I saw Kendall. I felt like a weirdo because when she was 16, I was like, this woman's going to be
beautiful. You'd invest in that.
No, I was like, I want to fuck this 16. No, I'm kidding. I do now. No, not back then. But,
right. But if you knew what you were investing in.
No, I just said, like, I was like, this girl's going to be stunning one day.
Right.
And I was right. And I was like, I mean, she looked pretty back then, but I was like, she's going to be a model-esque.
She's going to be hot.
She's going to be very pretty. Yeah. It's not, like, creepy to say that.
Yeah.
It's not creepy to say that.
I got you.
Unless she's, like, what, 30 now? You're fine.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's not.
Investing in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, Kylie's fake as shit. Kylie's 100% fake. But, but like, the three real Kardashians. All their ass is huge fake. One of my closest friends, I know I've been joking, but this one I can't say her name. Martella Bergeshian. She is a lawyer, but she has the most amazing ass. And then I'm close with her family. Like, she's my homegirl. We've been friends with her. She's probably one of my best girlfriends. I tend to hang out with girls more than guys because I just feel comfortable growing up with my mom. But like, I have a lot of homegirls. Everyone secretly gay, but
we got closets all over this.
Perfect. Open Let's all get in it.
Yeah,
but I saw her. She had the most amazing ass, and then I go to her. I meet her mom in college. I'm like, her mom got cake too, and then there's cousin cake. Everyone, go to Glendale and see. That's
in Glendale. Yeah.
So go to the Americana.
Yeah,
go
to Americana.
And walk around.
Go to Americana. If you're ever here in LA, from people who are not here. You go to America. That's Glendale is like where the Armenians get together to steal stereos and drive white BMWs.
Right.
Okay. They don't steal them. They sell them. No. But they go.
I got a part of a third party trucking company in around Glendale.
There you go.
For about 2 months.
Yeah.
So you go there. It always if you go to Glendale, by the way, the weather's actually good. It's a little warm. It always seems overcast, but that's just all the cologne in the air. So it's
exactly.
Yeah, but go. I just put this in your head. You'll never You'll never ever. Like, go back.
The ice is broken.
I went to Glendale. I met a friend over there, and I usually see a bunch. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was Korean, so maybe that's why I saw a bunch of Asian people over there. So it's like Asian and Armenians. But it's interesting, you said Armenian women thick. You said that one girl with a lawyer. I want to know who she is because
you said they got Brazilian ass. I think I would take Armenian ass on average over a Brazilian. Brazilians always have like a little booty. They always have a little booty.
But they have a little nice booty. No, that's what I'm saying. Nice.
It's like Armenians might be on like if you might go like per capita.
Yeah.
Better ass on Armenians than I would never think it because Brazilians are gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. If you go down to Rio.
Yeah.
You will see the most beautiful girl you've ever seen in your life, and you also see the most ugly girl you've ever seen.
I know, because
it's a weird situation.
I've met some. You can meet Adriana Lima, or you can meet fucking Adrian with a fucking with a fucking
throw. It gets anything for Ipanema down there or whatever. Capiena.
Don't they have a lot of transgender, like,
they have a lot of surgery and butts and ass and dicks and everything. They do it all.
We went to a strip club down there and the girls were like, Capiena. They'll whack you off for a Capiena, which is their like cultural drink. And I don't know, it's like a mojito, I guess.
I bet.
And so you're sitting there and you're like, so how much is a Capiena? And they're like, $1.50. I'm like, whoa, we got to get out of here.
I would just put $100 on the table. Like, bitch, you would be.
And Joby's.
The type of girl that's saying Capiena for $1.50 is not. Son. You don't. There's not a sanitizer.
Well, son. You've been to jail. You don't. Capiena, bitch.
Capiena.
That's funny because, like, you can be like, look, bitch, I can give you the $40 ticket or you be a Capiena. It's actually good. I had it at Bossa Nova.
Yeah.
No, Capiena is a great drink.
Never had one.
The busboy jerked me out, but he was a man, and his name was Jose, and he's Mexican.
Okay.
I'm still on this, like, Armenian thick lawyer thing. So, like, I'm still need to figure this out because, like.
You want to see a picture?
Yeah. I definitely want to see a picture.
She's one of my best friends.
That's definitely what us guys, like, because me and LJ were talking about that. Like, why do black guys really love thick white women? And I wonder
because it reminds you of hunting water buffalo in Africa.
Oh my god!
I mean, water buffalo are less submissive. So we want submissive women, and that's okay.
We
want to dominate. Oh, she's slim thick.
No, it looks like that in the picture, but you see it. It's like this big. She's not a lawyer. She's not gonna be posting.
She's not showing her ass, and now I'm disappointed. Therefore, I'm not following. I'm not following her on Instagram after that, and that was a total waste of my time.
You like to talk about, like, oh, they're less submissive, but it's actually just
you want the white girl.
So we like to hunt. We like to get the submissive. So we don't like arguments. You know, these women that don't want to argue, whatever. But, like, I tell you what, one thing we probably like better, even though we don't like arguments, one thing we like better than thick white women are thick lawyers. I don't know what it is, but, like, I don't know what it is. Well, but, like, if you get yourself a thick lawyer, that's like a dream come true.
Well, that's because after you bang her, she can represent you when you get trumped up charges.
Exactly!
Or she could ruin your life, and she's been writing everything down since the start.
And send that shit to the
be careful with a lawyer.
Hey, shut up, white man. Why are you making all this negativity?
Stop ruining my dreams.
So this is the problem. Like, this guy thinks too logically.
Yeah.
Fuck you, man.
I just want to fuck a thick lawyer. Like, my God. Like, you know?
Girls are already writing everything down in their head. She's just putting it on paper. She can use it against
you. Yeah, and she's putting it on her computer and saving it to the iCloud. You know what I mean? So
funny.
My boy's over here. You know, I want you guys to check him out on Amazon. What's your show name again?
Burb Patrol. Like suburbs? Burb Patrol?
Burb Patrol.
Yeah, please watch that and follow me on Instagram, The Real Face.
The Real Face.
I make good memes, and I'll be putting out some clips soon.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
And this is Smart and Mild, episode 23.
23, good shit. And we're
Jordan, baby.
There we go.
Yeah, go Jordan. And we're going to continue moving on. So we have a big guest here today, and we're going to continue to go to his show. We might see some clips on our after our party. We're going to go party after on Wednesday after that show.
Yeah, come through.
And we're going to get, trashed.
Yeah, let's do it. Fuck yeah.
Everyone's dying. Yeah, we're totally
it's
dying.
It's the last day.
Because I never partied with you yet. And I have a feeling it's going to go.
It's not for everybody, bro. I've retired some people. I'm going to rehab. What's your rock bottom? You.
We had a buddy that left PCB and immediately checked into rehab before he even went home. College.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we didn't see him for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah. But that's what it is. This is Smart Mile. Thank you all for coming out.
We love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Chicken grease. Thank you guys, man.
Thank you, man.
The best.
Thank you, buddy.
I appreciate you guys.
Hell yeah.
I get to my girl.